we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
About time, Nikki Haley, after getting pummeled on Super Tuesday, finally bows out.
I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country.
Especially Democrat voters who voted for Joe Biden, who tried to hurt Trump and backed Nikki Haley and never were going to vote for Trump in 2024.
But the time has now come to suspend my campaign.
Nikki Haley this morning gave a speech in which she is suspending her campaign, and she shows that she has Captain Obvious syndrome.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July.
Okay, Nikki, what other likelihood would even be remotely possible? Like, President Trump is pretty much running uncontested at this point, with you buying out. Unless, of course, she is still hoping, like Ron DeSantis, that they kill President Trump or they somehow get him to be imprisoned. Anyway, it seems pretty obvious that, yes, President Trump is going to be the nominee at the Republican National Convention in a few months.
I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
Great. Does that mean, like the RNC wanted from all of their debaters, that she is going to now endorse President Trump? She may be bowing out, and she may be wishing America to have a great president, and she may be calling herself a conservative Republican, but she falls shy of actually endorsing President Trump as she exits, unlike Ron DeSantis and pretty much everyone else, I think, except for maybe still butthurt Chris Christie. Everyone else has endorsed President Trump as they exit, but we weren't really expecting Nikki Haley to keep her word on that now, were we?
I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
She wants President Trump to actually earn the vote of the people. Her people. Well, her people are actually Democrats, so President Trump is not going to earn their vote. They were voting for Nikki Haley to hurt Trump, not to help America or to help Nikki Haley. The whole thing is a ruse. Is President Trump worried about it? Of course not. He knows where he stands with not just Republicans, but with American voters.
We've been launching like a rocket to the Republican nomination.
You've talked about trying to unify the party. How do you bring these Nikki Haley voters, some of whom voted for you in 2020 but say they don't want to now? How do you bring them back into the tent?
They're going to all vote for me again. Everybody. And I'm not sure we need too many.
President Trump is going to get the people that voted for him in 2020. And he doesn't need too many of the Democrat Haley voters to turn out for him. And actually, he's going to get a lot of people that voted for Biden who were not behind Nikki Haley to vote for him as well. Welcome officially to the BCP podcast. I am James, Black Conservative Patriot. Big hug to all of y'all. President Trump absolutely crushed it in the Super Tuesday, only losing one place to Nikki Haley. And of course, he didn't lose it because Republicans rejected him and wanted Nikki Haley. It's because it was an open primary state.
Let's look at Nikki Haley's results. She won Vermont. That's her bright spot. It is a very dim bright spot in an otherwise sea of red. What do you take away from these numbers?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, we'll show you Vermont here. This was Haley's lone primary win here. It is a small state, as we know. Look at that, about 70,000 votes coming out of Vermont. So she gets to tout that she got a win, but that those numbers are just dwarfed by what you see elsewhere. You know, as we say, overall, she'll end up winning two primaries in this, and she will be able to say that she did get a fairly significant number of votes, obviously dwarfed by Trump.
Well, this brings us to Hallie, because that 35%, you know, 40% in New Hampshire, whatever, there's a sliver of the Republican primary electorate that didn't want to vote for someone named Trump.
It's not zero. Now,
right. So do they go back, you know, back to the well with Trump, or do they present an opportunity for Joe Biden?
Even NBC's The Today Show gave an honest analysis of this. These weren't Trump people that were voting for Nikki Haley.
So there's a couple of pieces to that, right? Because you look at this number, 35%, that Steve has pointed out here, based on the exit polls, roughly half that may be support for President Biden, right? Some of these Democrats or more Democrat-leaning independents who crossed over and voted for Nikki Haley.
In so many of these states, Democrats and independents could come in and vote. And as Hallie was saying, there's a lot of evidence they did in pretty big numbers here. What you saw is a very motivated anti-Trump Democratic base vote that looked at this Republican primary in a lot of states, had a chance to go vote based on the rules, and said, I want to go out there and vote against Donald Trump.
All right, so President Trump pretty much now has the path to go and just wrap up the nomination for the Republican Party. All right, let me give you some updates on what's going on in the Supreme Court with Trump. My last episode, which was over 24 hours ago because of the time difference of where I'm at here on the other side of the world, I had reported about how, yay, Texas will be able to enforce their laws against illegal aliens illegally entering their state and their country. And one of our family members on Patreon said, and giving me an update, Samuel Alito stopped the Fifth Circuit Court ruling. He suspended everything till March 13th. Hope this is not bad news. Let's look at this.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has temporarily blocked a tough new immigration law in Texas from taking effect today. That law gives state officials the power to arrest migrants who cross into Texas illegally. Lawyers with the Biden administration argue that that's the federal government's job. Illegal crossings at the southern border hit a record high last year.
Last week, a Texas district judge blocked the law, arguing that it violates the Constitution's Supremacy Clause and conflicts with key provisions of federal immigration law. Texas's Attorney General appealed the ruling, and over the weekend, a federal court granted the state a temporary stay. And Monday, at the Justice Department's urging, the Supreme Court stepped in to stop SB 4 from taking effect, with Justice Samuel Alito giving Texas until March 11th to file a response.
Now, why is Alito my second favorite Supreme Court justice after Clarence Thomas for being such a stalwart conservative? Why would he go and do this? I think it's because the federal government supremacy over state government supremacy is not a topic, is not a legal argument, is not a constitutional item that can just be dismissed and the Supreme Court not take any action on it. So we will have more guidance on this. They have about 5 days to, they have 5 days to bring their side of it, and we'll see what happens from there. But we do have some more good news for President Trump when it comes to the Supreme Court, and they will be hearing the immunity argument on April 25th. The Gateway Pundit reporting today, the Supreme Court will hear Trump's presidential immunity argument on April 25th. It could take months for the Supreme Court to issue a ruling, so special counsel Jack Smith's January 6th case against Trump may or may not begin before the 2024 election. Supreme Court watchers say the High Court is expected to issue a ruling in late June. Judge Tanya Chutkan have postponed the March 4th date indefinitely as Trump's immunity argument makes its way through the courts. So this is all good news for us Americans, for us MAGA, America First, and Trump supporters, and America as a whole. Remember, this is not a partisan thing. This is about what's best for our country. So the Fannie Willis thing is imploding. The Jack Smith thing, as we've seen, is imploding. The backlash against people supposedly supposed to fall out of favor with Trump because of all of these lawfare attacks against him have had the opposite effect. People who were on the sidelines are sick of what's happening, and now they're every time they go after Trump, he gains more support. But let's go to states going after Trump. The Fannie Willis RICO case is totally unraveling. Well, where's another place, where's another state where they are very much anti-Trump, where they stole a gubernatorial race and they're doing everything to be not MAGA, even though the people of that state are MAGA? That would be Arizona. And now they want to pick up the slack for what's not happening over in Georgia. Politico reporting today the following. Arizona investigators issue grand jury subpoenas as state's 2020 Trump election probe accelerates. It's a sign the state's attorney general is nearing a decision about whether to bring criminal charges. Arizona prosecutors in recent weeks issued grand jury subpoenas to multiple people linked to Trump's 2020 campaign, a sharp acceleration of their criminal investigation into efforts to overturn Joe Biden's victory in the state, Politico reports today. The new steps, first reported here, are a sign that Attorney General Chris Mays, a Democrat, who, of course, did not actually win his position because they stole it from the people in Arizona, kind of like Katie Hobbs is not really the legitimate governor of the state either. Just thought we remember that. Attorney General Chris Mays, a Democrat, is nearing a decision on whether to charge Trump's allies in the state, including GOP activists who falsely posed as presidential electors in December 2020. They didn't falsely pose as presidential electors. This is absolutely ridiculous. Six people were granted anonymity to share their details about the ongoing investigation. The Attorney General's office declined to comment. It is not clear whether Mays is considering charges against people close to Trump's national campaign or whether her investigation remains focused on the Arizona GOP officials and activists who aided Trump's bid to overturn the state's presidential results. In November, Mays told CNN that the investigation is robust. Yes, it's so robust that they're bringing it right before the 2024 election and they're ramping things up as everything else is falling apart. They want to kill or imprison President Trump by any means necessary. We are now watching Desperation Hour. And I have an update. I want to circle back real quick here. I'm seeing here today, USA Today reporting, and I think it's now widely being reported that, in fact, Mitch McConnell has seen the day, is seeing the light, and he is officially endorsing President Trump for president. But since he's leaving anyway, unfortunately, he's not leaving before November, no one's listening to Mitch McConnell on who they should vote for. This is just a swamp being swampy and trying to seem like they care about Republican voters. I'm sure if you're listening to or watching this show, you are not fooled. Okay, so another thing that they tell us and call us Trump supporters is they call us conspiracy theorists, even though we are conspiracy realists. Everything points to what we've been saying has been true. And we're going to get into a couple examples of that. But someone who was confronted by the press on this was Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she had a very saucy, straightforward, and some would say vulgar and naughty response to this incredibly ridiculous line of inquiry. Watch this clip and it'll all make sense. Former BBC presenter Emily Matlis confronted Marjorie Taylor Greene at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago headquarters on Super Tuesday after he won every state except liberal Vermont. Matlis, who is now with a podcast called News Agent, opened her inquisition by asking MTG who Trump should elect as his running mate. And it went from this to craziness.
Oh, I don't think Nikki Haley should be on the list. But of course, President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you like to be on that list?
He's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me. But I can assure you it won't be Nikki Haley.
And can you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself. He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So,
what about Jewish space lasers? Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you? How about that?
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Marjorie Taylor Greene tells the news agent quite forcefully, why don't you go expletive off? You know, it's so funny how it's a technique that we see from the left of reporters. They ask a series of questions which are legitimate, but those aren't the real questions they want to ask. They want to break down the person that they're interviewing or asking questions. Well, who do you think will be the vice president? You think Nikki Haley will have a chance? Hell no, that's a stupid question. President Trump's not going to pick Nikki Haley. How about you, Marjorie Taylor Greene? That seems like a legitimate question. And then she goes into the thing about Jewish space lasers. Look, I'm pretty MAGA in America first, but Jewish space lasers? Did something happen while I was traveling and I missed that news of Jewish space lasers? And that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene can just see right to these people and she just says, you know, just F off, she tells them. Except she didn't self-edit like I just did. So we're all conspiracy theorists, right? We're all conspiracy theorists because, for instance, we've been seeing many of us MAGA people, they want to call us Q people. They want to call us, you know, crazy conspiracy nut jobs, not grounded in reality. Well, what have we been saying for a long time? We've been concerned about, for instance, pedophilia in places like, oh, I don't know, Pedoville, Hollywood. Oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. That's what we're told. That's what they say. But check out this news coming out. Drake Bell says he was sexually abused as a child at Nickelodeon by convicted sex offender Brian Peck. Oh, I guess we were just conspiracy theorists all along, right? Not grounded in reality. Former Nickelodeon star Drake Bell reportedly says he was sexually abused at Nickelodeon by convicted sex offender Brian Peck when he was a child. Bell opens up about his experience working with Peck, a dialogue coach who worked on Nickelodeon's All That and the Amanda Show, in the upcoming documentary Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. In a trailer for the documentary, multiple people discuss Peck being a sexual predator, adding they wonder who he had abused before. One man asks, it wasn't dealing with anybody on the show or anything, right? To which woman off camera answers, it was a child actor.
To hear that Brian Peck was a sexual predator, it made me wonder immediately about who was being hurt.
Who it is, when it happened, where it happened, I have no idea.
It wasn't dealing with anybody on the shows or anything, right?
It was a child actor.
On one of our shows?
Yes.
At this point of the trailer, we see Bell walk in, sit down in a chair, and he seems ready to share his story about his experience with Peck when he was just 15 years old. Now, if you're not familiar with Bell, he has starred on The Amanda Show from 1999 to 2002 before landing his own Nickelodeon series, Drake and Josh, which debuted in 2004. And the star's comment on Quiet on the Set, which is going to air in a couple weeks, on the 17th and 18th on Investigation Discovery, will be the first time he has ever shared his story. Back in 2003, Peck was arrested on 11 charges involving sexual child abuse. In May 2004, he pleaded no contest to performing a lewd act with an anonymous 14 or 15-year-old, as well as to oral copulation with a minor under 16. Peck was then convicted of sexually abusing an unnamed Nickelodeon child actor, ordered to registered as a sex offender, and was sentenced to 16 months in prison. For 20 years, it remained unclear who the unnamed Nickelodeon child actor was until now. So I will probably watch that special and report on it in a few weeks. But that's not all. We have this. Now, I was going to play the clip for you, but it's too many F-words, F-bombs getting thrown down. And I'm not big on censorship. And if it's one or two, I let it go. But when it's just a whole string of F this, F that, F that, I don't want to play it. But I do want to show this to you. You know what? I think I'm going to play it for you. Let me just play it for you because I want you to decide for yourself what's really going on here. Trending politics, Colin Rugg tweeted out, Justin, professional boxer Ryan Garcia tells Collaborate that he was held down and forced to watch children get raped, adding that Bohemian Grove is real. The statement comes just days after Garcia released a video claiming his Instagram account was hacked and his cards were locked. Hey guys, it's Ryan. I'm coming on here to explain what's going on. I'm not in possession of my phone. I can't get access to my Instagram. My cards are locked. I'm being really taken advantage of. Garcia now has spoken out about Bohemian Grove, a secret retreat in California that hosts some of the most elite people, including business leaders and presidents. Alex Jones previously entered Bohemian Grove and filmed footage of the cremation of care ceremony, calling it a ritual sacrifice. Garcia now claims he was forced to watch children get raped.
Talk to us.
Bro, I don't give a fuck, bro. They held me down and they made me watch little kids get raped. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Where?
By the way, this is apparently was some sort of podcast interview or interview that Garcia had with Andrew Tate.
Bro, they took me to the woods, bro, and they I'm not joking, bro. I have proof, bro. I don't give a bro. I will show you every video you could ever. Bohemian Grove is real. They tied me down and they made me watch, dog. I absolutely don't give a anymore. Yes.
He doesn't want to take us all.
What's going on here? A handler, possibly his wife, saying he in the background he doesn't want to talk about this anymore? Is this, are you getting Joe Biden vibes here? Are you getting Joe Biden vibes here? Let's go back to this tweet from Colin Rugg where he gives a little bit more details. Garcia now claims he was forced to watch children get raped. Garcia's ex-wife has recently spoken out on his well-being, stating that he is not okay. He may seem fine, but he is not. I know in my heart that he is being heavily oppressed. This is not a troll. I'm genuinely concerned, and so are all his family members, she said. Oh, so what is it? He's dropping truth bombs, and now, oh, he's crazy. He's crazy. He's getting the Kanye West treatment. You know, they can hide behind it. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I know that's very easy when powerful people are being exposed or they don't want certain things to come out. All of a sudden, the person is crazy and not trustworthy. I mean, he is a boxer, right? They could just say he took too many hits to the head and now he's crazy. And look, even his ex-wife says that he may seem like he's okay, but he's not. So we're just supposed to discount everything. What's interesting though, is he says like, I don't care anymore. So who knows what he's referring to? Is he schizophrenic? I don't know. But he does claim to have video proof of what he saw. I don't know what to make of this. Is this another conspiracy theory or is there some fact behind this? And I want to end with this last story here. Another conspiracy theory. We're worried about the pushing of the trans and the non-binary agenda. And now we have Doritos firing their brand ambassador, who's trans, after he tweeted about a 12-year-old and it has resurfaced. They know these things exist out there. They just want to promote these deviants. They want to promote these sick people and hope that we don't find it or catch it and it can slip under the radar. But people have eagle eyes like a hawk. Anytime you have a trans activist, trust me, there are going to be people out there who want to dig into the truth behind these people. I guess they didn't learn from Mulvaney, from Dylan Mulvaney now, did they? Or maybe Doritos did, and that's why they took this quick action. So here are the details. Doritos, a subsidiary of PepsiCo, fired transgender artist Samantha Hudson as a brand ambassador for Spain on Monday after being alerted to a disturbing tweet involving a 12-year-old. Over the weekend, Doritos Spain announced Hudson as a brand ambassador for its products and included Hudson in the 50-second promo called The Crunch Talks. Hudson originally gained prominence through a YouTube channel that discussed beauty, travel, and lifestyle tips. On Monday, several ex-users alerted Doritos to past posts published in 2015 regarding a 12-year-old. I want to do thuggish things to a 12-year-old girl, Hudson said in the original post translated from Spanish to English. Hudson, then 15 at the time of the post, said it was meant to be funny. In the middle of the street in Mallorca, in panties and screaming that I'm a nymphomaniac in front of a super beautiful 8-year-old girl, Hudson allegedly said in another post per Newsweek. In another post, Hudson appeared to mock sexual abuse survivors. I hate women who are victims of rape and who turn to self-help centers to overcome their trauma. K, fat whore, the post said. According to the Daily Mail, Cerritos fired Hudson as a brand ambassador after outcry on social media. So he's only 15 at the time he did this. Does that make it right? No, it does not. And I am in Spain, and I was in Spain the other day reporting on this story. That's why I came all the way here. That last thing I just said was for the IRS. Anywho, thanks for being here. This is James BCP signing off. Until the next one, ciao, goodbye, God bless. And once again, thanks for your support of this show and this program.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.